Hello, welcome to New Life Live today. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn, but don't panic because Dr. Jill and Dr. Sherry are here to answer your questions on radio.
Thank you very much. You guys are quite entertaining and interesting and helpful.
You have a great ministry. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, that does help.
That did not sound convincing.
Oh, okay.
Captain Obvious here. Okay. Thank you. All right.
And are they big enablers or are they concerned?
Oh, terrible. His mom still pays for everything and he's 38 years old.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. His mother still pays for everything and he's 38 years old.
That's what I thought you said.
Well, I think he can heal every sick person who wants healing.
Right. But sometimes he just doesn't.
Sometimes he does it through dying.
Right. I guess.
Okay, well, welcome to New Life Live today. We have a good day before us today. We're going to do 2 hours of radio. And as we start, I want to talk about the second hour first so we can have people who are listening who might be interested in the topic call next hour.
It's a good topic this time of the year.
It is.
Share us what
really
it's going to be.
We're going to be talking about seasonal affective disorder.
But you feel defective
when you have it, right?
You do. That's why they call it sad.
It is. And you know, a lot of times people think it's just part of the holiday blues. They don't know that there's actually a disorder that comes up this time of the year. So we'll be talking about that.
Absolutely.
Today.
It's kind of on a continuum, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It can start as holiday blues, but there's so many other factors that go into it. And
yeah.
It can be really debilitating for a lot of people.
It can be.
So if that's of interest to you, those are the kinds of calls we want to get next hour. That's the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just looking forward to that because this time of the year, it seems to hit as hard as any time.
Yep.
Well, yes.
Yeah. And I want to remind people that Steve is not here because Steve is, he had an appointment come up that he could get in Chicago that he had been waiting for. And so he's in the car with Misty and the kids driving to Chicago as we speak right now.
Well, let's pray for him, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
And then the other thing I want to talk about real quick before we go into phone calls is that we're going to be doing a week of, not a whole week, but 3 days of webinars. And Sherry, you're going to, you know, you're not doing next week's, but we're going to do a week in January or February also.
On women in the battle.
Yeah,
very excited
so.
About
we'll
that.
We'll do that. Mm-hmm. Well, we can do one on a couple of other topics. But
all right.
For next week, we're going to do one on healing as a choice. And you don't want to miss this, especially if that weekend workshop is appealing to you, because with healing as a choice, Steve is going to talk about a healing choice or two and give people a flavor of what goes on in that weekend.
Mm-hmm. So they can get a head start on it.
The other two we're doing that weekend, that week is
one on marriage.
Every man's battle and then marriage. Monday, December the 12th at 4 o'clock, we're going to do every man's battle. And Jason Martinkus, who heads up our workshops on every man's battle, is going to do that one. And Tuesday is Steve's on healing as a choice. That's December the 13th. And again, that's at 4 o'clock, and these are Pacific time.
So, Larry, if people want to tune in, how do they do that?
They go online and register. Go to newlife.com,
okay.
On the homepage, they'll see something very apparent to them, and they can click on that, and they can sign up and register for that.
And they're free. That's great. There's no charge for these webinars. And, you know, if you have one of those questions that you're a little nervous about bringing on live radio, it'd be a fabulous time to get on that webinar because you're going to have one-on-one time with Steve.
A whole hour.
Yeah.
We might get
awesome.
A call or two during a program, but you can get a whole hour just on these subjects. The last one, the third one, is a Wednesday, December the 14th. And both Mylon Yurkovich and Dave Stoop, are going to talk about marriage. And
they're the best.
Marriage.
So if any of those three appeal to you, then go to newlife.com, sign up.
Yep.
And you can download a PDF that we'll have available before the workshop. And it will be a good thing, or before the webinar. So.
Lots coming up.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Call us at 1-800-229-3000, and Sherry and Jill will be back to answer your questions. So thanks for tuning in today.
Hey, and Larry, you might have a little bit of wisdom. I've heard you bring some wisdom online.
Larry, I know.
I'll sit quietly on the sidelines.
Don't sell yourself short.
You are blossoming.
Okay, we'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, here we are. Dr. Jill Hubbard is with us and Dr. Sherry Denham, and we're going to go right to the phones, and we're going to go talk to Alex. Let's see, line four here. And Alex listens on WOLC. He's from Dover, Maryland, or Dover, Delaware. So, Alex, share with us.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am calling because before I was saved, I married someone to allow them to be able to get obtain a green card since their student visa was about to expire. And he has paid me ever since then. And about 6 months later, I was saved, and I'm married, and I don't know the best way to go about dealing with this situation because in January, I'll be married for 3 years.
So you're married twice?
Oh, no, no.
Oh.
I was married in January of 2009 and saved in August of 2009. And
so your feelings changed after
you... the paperwork for him to get his green card or for us to have a divorce.
Oh, got it.
And I don't really know if I should push for a divorce. When we were married, he had a girlfriend, and it's just one of those situations where I didn't marry for love, and it was a business arrangement. And
so kind of like the old arranged marriages, right, where people didn't... Well, I mean, years ago, we didn't always marry for love. People had arranged marriages for various reasons, so it's kind of what you did.
Yeah.
Right? So what the conflict you're feeling now?
Well, my husband and I, we've never lived together. We've never been intimately involved. And he hasn't really expressed any interest in staying married. I mean, he's a really nice guy, but, you know, our belief systems are a little different. It's just been one of those things. Going in, I knew that we would never be in a relationship together, and that hasn't changed. I don't know what I should do. I mean, should I stay married to him or just keep going on living this lie? Because I also worry that when it comes time to, file for his citizenship, that then that would just be a big song and dance and a lie upon a lie that I'm feeding to the people there at immigration. And
it just gets thicker, doesn't
it? Yeah.
You know?
It's very complicated.
It just gets thick. Sometimes we think we're doing someone a favor, but we end up walking right into a pit ourselves.
And even when we were married, even though I wasn't saved, I said, I told the people, because we got married at the courthouse, I said, I don't want you to mention God in our ceremony at all.
That
was important to me for some reason as an unsaved person. And then 6 months later, I was saved. And since then, I had met someone in my church, and we had a really great friendship, and I told him from the very get-go about my situation. And we tried dating, but it was just a major point of contention in the relationship because both of us were very convicted.
And Alex, what was the draw for you to do this for this person?
When I saw him, he was like the most beautiful person I've ever seen. He looks like he looked like a model right off the page, and I worked with his sister, and I said, oh, your brother is so handsome. And she said, well, would you marry him? I said, sure, I'll marry him. And she said, no, really, His student visa is about to expire. He was from South America, and all of his family were citizens, but he came, he finished high school, and it was after 9/11 when he came, and the way that he could have filed under his mother changed since he was over the age of 18 at that point. And I just figured that I would help him. The first wedding date I kind of backed out on, and then the second day, I was going through some financial troubles, and he paid me money up front, and he's paid me every month since.
Okay, so it became a financial agreement then. You said he paid you to marry him.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's your family thought about all this?
My mother, she was pretty heartbroken when she found out that I did it. She's met him, and she likes him. She says that, you know, she said, you really need to talk to someone about what you should do, because she said, I never thought in a million years you would do something like this, and... She was not angry at me. She's just worried about me because it has caused problems for me.
Yeah.
Are you living together?
No, we've never lived together.
Right. You said you've really not had a relationship. You've not consummated the marriage.
No.
So it's really strictly on paper.
Yeah.
Well, a pretty
thick piece of paper.
Well, yeah, And Alex, I think, you know, obviously in hindsight, you know, I mean, you're trying to figure out what to do now, but this has cost you a lot. It kind of reminds me of Esau and Jacob, you know. Mm-hmm. He wanted the bowl of soup and he was hungry and he said, okay, whatever, I'll do it. And it kind of, you know, and so for you, okay, sure, why not? He's a handsome guy, I'll do this, without thinking, oh my gosh, look at what I've done. Look at what I've given up.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Look at how it's imprisoned me. Yeah, look at what it's cost my family. And yeah. Look at now I'm in this dilemma.
So I think it's really important for you to look at how you were so short-sighted and willing to give so much of yourself away in that way. Because to marry someone, as you're finding out now, is something really precious and special. And it isn't just a legal arrangement. It has complications. And I think you didn't want God in it because I think you didn't feel like it was honoring to God. I mean, it's very interesting that 6 months later, God grabbed hold of your heart. And so I think this, I'm glad you're asking the questions. And I think that you need to be in a time of, you know, you're asking us. I think you do need to draw some people around you, maybe get involved in some therapy. And really talk through all the implications, because you don't want to make another decision as lightly as you made the first one.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not just an easy thing to undo. Oh, well, we'll just get a divorce. No, there's complications with that, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, also, you know, I think about the legal ramifications even on that, because it is something that I've done that is very highly illegal. And not mm-hmm. only has a large
right.
Monetary fine, but, you know, potential jail time. And it's just, and then I also made a promise to him that I would stay married to him until he got his paperwork. And with that, it involves lying on top of that, which is something and it's so crazy. Before I was saved, I was a great liar. And now I couldn't mm-hmm. lie to save my life.
Wow.
What were your wedding vows like? Was part of the wedding vow till death do us part?
It was pretty much everything. It said, you know, we're gathered here today, and then where it gets to the point where they would say, what God has put together, let no man
mm-hmm.
tear apart. It was just,
okay.
It was pretty much, do you, Catherine, take, you know, him, and it's just.
Powerful words
yes.
to speak.
So, and Alex, I'm also wondering, because you said it's hard for you to lie now.
Yes.
One thought. Let me just throw this out there, okay? What if you went to him and said, I can't continue to lie. So we either have to make this a real marriage, or I can't continue the sham.
I don't know. He's been, you know, getting stuff together to send out the paperwork. He would just say, oh, well, we'll just send out the paperwork. And I would probably say, you know, that's going to involve me lying.
I know. And mm-hmm. But one wrong doesn't make it okay to walk into more wrongs.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Just because you've made an error, both of you guys risked in doing this. both of you made that same decision and same commitment. But just because you did that doesn't mean you have to continue in the lie.
Because if you tell him where you stand now and that it's a matter of integrity for you, it kind of puts the ball in his court. But you have to stand firm and know where that line is for you.
And then I also feel obligated because I did give him my word, and I have, you know, taken
collected
money from him and everything. And I feel like, you know, in a way I'm almost indebted to fulfill my end of that bargain.
So you're indebted to lie? Let's just play that out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just play that out, Alex.
You know, when you say it like that, it definitely does not make sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so to say that, if you play it out, you're compromising your faith.
You know, over Thanksgiving weekend, I was flipping channels, and I came across Fiddler on the Roof.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, that's all about arranged marriages or falling in love. And one of the lines in that was when one of the daughters talked about taking a husband and said, "I would learn to love him."
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about what love is, and that love is a commitment. And it seems to me like that commitment began when she married him, even though there was no love behind it. And
there was a little bit of attraction.
Yeah, there was attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder if she couldn't learn, or if you couldn't, Alex, learn to love him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it maybe sounds like a horrible thought in this day and age, but it's how they did it for hundreds of years.
Hey, I have kids.
Out of necessity.
It worked out a lot better for them than a lot of our marriages seem to work
out. Right.
Well, right.
I think that's because there was a commitment.
My husband, he's probably the nicest person that I've ever met, and that's another big reason. Because he is such a sweet person, and whenever I've needed help, he's been there. It's like I don't want to leave the ball hanging for him because he's been here in the country for years, and all of his family's here.
Okay, but where is you in all of this?
You know, I'm going to have a talk with him. I'm going to let him know that there is something that needs to break in this situation because it kills me, you know, going throughout my day and then dealing with different things. And in the midst of me being married, I fell in love with someone and possibly could have had a life with them, but there was no way to do that. And I just feel like the situation has been standing in the way of God's blessings for my life, whatever that may be, you know, and maybe it's a blessing that I'm not expecting. Maybe something will happen with my husband. I mean, I really don't see that happening, but if it were to, that would be a blessing.
But you've also never entertained the idea of pursuing him as an option, as a true option.
But my biggest thing is that if it came down to it, with reasons of divorce, I guess you could say that both of us on this account have committed adultery in this relationship. I mean, he was with someone for the first year and a half of our marriage. I just wonder if
you're looking for a loophole.
Yes.
Yeah. If I if I got a divorce, if I would be.
God wouldn't be too mad at you then because it says that's okay.
Have you talked to your pastor?
I have. I've talked to him briefly about it and just recently. And so we're going to have some more meetings about it. But it's just one of those things where, you know, I believe very firmly that, you know, divorce is not part of the plan and that, you know, it's something
so,
to be avoided at all costs.
That's right. So, Alex, this is, like I said before, this is a period of time where you have to really decide what you believe, honestly. And it's not about, oh, he's such a nice guy. It's this, you have to live with this for the rest of your life. So this is a decision you have to make. It includes him. Okay, so I think, good, you're meeting with your pastor. Continue to do so and, you know, go into prayer, have people praying for you. Gather friends around you, go into therapy, do all the things you need to do to make the best decision possible.
And I think I'd like to have us send you a copy of a perspective that Mylon and Steve did. It was called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, because as I remember that CD, they speak a lot about marriage and how sacred it is and just how serious it is, and that it's not something to lightly look for the loopholes to get out of.
Right.
And we will be praying for you.
And maybe those that are listening today and hearing your story, Alex, will really think about it before they follow in your footsteps.
Amen.
Because I pray that they do. I pray that they do, because that $2,000 has not been worth everything that I've...
Oh, my gosh. No, not at all.
Well, thanks for calling today, Alex. We appreciate it very much. Before we go to break, I just want to remind you that you can go online to newlife.com and go to our store and buy some Christmas gifts for some folks. There's some good books and CDs and teachings there. And
ho, 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 it's off to New Life I go.
Can you believe it's Christmas? Okay.
But
we'll be back and take some more
exchanges.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
I, coming here, was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders. And I feel so much lighter now. And I feel so much better. And I feel like I can give so much more to other people. And I don't feel ashamed. And I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
Group therapy is different than individual therapy.
It's like a year's worth of individual therapy.
They fit together nicely.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up January 20th. To register or to find out more, call today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or log on to newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
For the first time in 2 years, I am free.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW. L-I-F-E.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Thank you. Well, welcome back to New Life. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, but Jill and Sherry are answering all the tough questions. So... let's go to the line 8, and talk to Bert. Bert, hi, how are you?
Well, hi, Larry. I'm just fine. Gosh, I just think it's a real privilege to be talking to you. You're the guy that's sort of the ghost.
He keeps us afloat.
I know you're out there, but you're the behind-the-scenes guy that just kind of makes everything click, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get credit for things that everybody else does around me, but I'll take it.
Yes. So.
But your the call screening line caught my eye because it said $500 challenge. What's this all about?
Yeah, money makes him.
Yeah, money got my attention.
Well, it gets my attention too. Let me tell you, but that's changed. And let me say a few words to you. Okay.
Okay.
My husband and I are faithful listeners to New Life, this program, and we decided a long time ago that this New Life team of Christian counselors, and of course, your staff behind the scenes, and that includes you too, Larry, are the real deal, okay?
Okay.
So, obviously, each of you is extremely qualified to handle this assignment that God has given you. That's very, very clear to us. For that, we are very, very grateful. And in my personal experience, I know that without hope, darkness really does blot out the light. That's been in my lifetime. But that's what New Life provides, is hope. Your listeners, when they call in and they are dealing with some really heavy stuff. By the time they hang up, I would imagine 98% of them have some feeling of hope. And especially for those who wonder how they're even going to get through another day.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to us, is really special. And my husband wanted me to share something with you. He wanted me to tell you something on the air, and I'm going to quote him here now. He said, "I'm living beyond a dream come true life, and new life has been part of the healing process."
Oh, wow. That's really great.
Mm-hmm.
So he and I hope to send some hope your way as an expression of God's provision this year to our family.
Well, thank you.
If you will permit us to, we want to offer a challenge to your listeners, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
However, we will contribute dollar for dollar whatever your audience donates, up to a maximum of $1,000.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you so much.
That's just terrific, Bert. Thank you so much. I hope that everybody's listening and will dial in to 1-800-NEW-LIFE-639-5433 or go online and make a gift and meet Bert's challenge. I hope it's met tenfold today.
I do, too. It's our prayer that it is, because it's God's money, and we really do want to share what we can with people who are really going out there and fighting the battle for others. And that's what New Life does.
Well, thanks, Bert, so much.
Yes, we appreciate so much you telling us how the ministry has helped you and taking it upon yourself to challenge people.
I see
that's
this
a lot. Such a loving offer. That's just great. So today, you know, if you all would do this, every dollar you give is doubled. So please just thank you for the gift, and please take advantage of this opportunity.
And Bert, I see that you're in Garland, Texas, which is really pretty close to our call center there. So sometime come in and see us there, and I'll look for opportunity to meet you there one day.
Well, I truly intend to do that. I just learned that the call center was there and just recently from Charles Smith in your office.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm intending to do that. It's very close to actually where we live.
Okay.
Great.
Well, thanks for calling again, Bert.
Listen,
God bless you.
We just hope that you just have a very, very blessed Christmas and a very successful and prosperous New Year. And we thank you so much for all you do. And please, folks, you know, if you can only even give a dollar, but if you can give a lot more than that, man, we're just, there's no telling how far that money is going to go, even a dollar.
God bless, and tell your husband thank you, too.
Yes, thanks. Bert.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay,
I'd like to go to line two and see if we can get Betty's question before we go to break and then answer it afterward.
That'd be great.
If we could. Hi, Betty.
Hey. Larry?
Yes.
And Sherry and Jill, right?
That's right.
You bet.
Hi,
the whole
Betty.
Team.
Praise the Lord and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I don't know how much I should tell. I don't want to take up an awful lot of time, but I'm having an awful lot of, I feel isolated. I was married for 3 years, and I left my husband. Prior to that, I was married for 48 years, and my husband passed away. And I met this... my second husband 5 years after my first husband passed away, and he made it appear that because of our age that we'd grow older together, and he would take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty,
could you ask a question, then we'll fill in the gaps after the break?
Yes, I would just like to know, have I done the right thing, or what should I do? Because I'm being rejected from the church because I left my husband.
Okay.
Oh, ouch.
That's
painful.
Tough.
Painful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll get back to you as soon as this break is over. Want to encourage everybody to, if next hour, if you have something about seasonal affective disorder that you would like to call us about, that's will be coming up in the hour following this program. Sherry and Jill will address those issues, and we would just love to take your calls then. But until then, we're going to answer Betty's call and a couple others, and we'll be back right after the break.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. Jill Hubbard answering Betty's call. Betty was married 48 years and widowed, and then after 3 years of a second marriage, she left her husband and is being ostracized by her church. And so, Sherry and Jill, why don't you jump in and take it from here?
So, Betty, are you still there?
Yes.
So, can you just speak a little bit about why you left your husband?
Okay. He made promises and that he did not fulfill or would not fulfill. He wasn't really a husband. He just kept saying whenever I would ask him when we was going, he moved me into a hunting camp.
A hunting camp?
Yes.
Is that what you said? A hunting camp.
Okay.
Tell me it wasn't a tent. Tell me you weren't one of the targets.
He's a farmer, okay?
Okay.
And this was his hunting camp. And when his second wife passed away, he returned to his farm and lived in this little camper. And we were going to build, but before we was even married, his son and his wife had me to sign a prenuptial. I also accompanied them to a courthouse where he signed everything over to his son. And that was still okay with me because I own my own home. And I thought, you know, that they thought I was marrying him for his money, and I wanted to make sure that they, you know, didn't think I was coming in to take their money.
Right. So did it go both ways, though? I mean, you owned a home in terms of the prenuptial.
There was a prenuptial for both of us, okay. Yes. But the thing of it is that I asked him to let me sell my home, and then we build on his farm, and his son rejected that. And so then I said, well, let's just build us a little cabin, something, because I would even have to go from his farm to my home to do my laundry every week because he wouldn't provide the necessities for me to do my laundry at this
cutting camp. What was the final straw?
The final straw was that I had left him a year ago, and he came and told me that he knew that he wasn't treating me fairly, and I was going to church. I sing Southern gospel, and he was taking me to these churches, and I was singing, and I really believed that he wanted to try, you know, to make our marriage work, and so I don't like divorce. I was brought mm-hmm. up not, you know, to even think of a divorce.
Right.
But anyway, the final straw was him telling me if I did not like where we were, then I could go back to my own home, and he would see me periodically. And I said that was no marriage, but I would leave, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, how old are you?
I'm 73.
Wow, dear
You've
one.
You've been through a lot.
Dear one, dear one. What a note of caution to many who lose their spouses late in life,
yes.
huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, I mean, you waited 5 years.
Yes.
But I'm wondering what was going on. You sounded so vulnerable with this gentleman. Like there might have been warning signs there that you just were ignoring or you didn't see.
Well, my sister tells me that there was all kinds of red flags that I just wasn't alert.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I was through the grieving period.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yes, you know, you had a long marriage.
And I've never been alone, you know.
Right.
And I think I just latched on to the first one that promised me the moon and the stars and maybe a rainbow or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you wanted to believe it was true because then that would take
yes.
care of the loneliness and the future.
I even had our pastor to come and counsel with us. And, of course, they saw the conditions that we lived in. I mean, I even had a refrigerator that didn't have any shelves in it, a stove mm-hmm. that didn't have but one burner and no oven.
Doesn't sound like a rainbow to me.
I mean, you know, yeah. but well, I'm saying he did promise to, you know,
right.
to make us a home. And both of us was financially able to do that.
Well, Betty, okay. where are you getting support right now? I want to just touch base on what you said when you were feeling, saying that you've been rejected by your church.
Really, I do not feel like, as I said, the pastor and his wife came and said they wanted to talk with us because they sensed that there was something going on. And I was in hopes that they could make him see that was not a suitable place for habitation. But anyway, they spent almost 2 hours with us and said they loved us both and they wanted to keep us in their church. We were good tithers.
Well, but did you get divorced then?
No, I will not get a divorce. I told him if he wanted a divorce that he could get one.
So you're separated right now.
We're separated. I don't need a divorce.
Okay. So have either one of you gone in to get some Christian counseling on this? Have you seen a therapist to kind of help navigate through these rough spots?
No.
Okay.
We have not.
What's kept you from sitting down with someone that could help you? Someone who's a marriage and family therapist?
Well, I guess it's just plain ignorance.
Okay.
Like I said, I've been turned down at churches where I've sang because they say that I'm, you know, separated from my husband. My sister, she blames me. She says that, like our dad used to say, you burned your blister, now set on it. I just don't know where to turn. I've been reading Walking Into Walls.
Good.
I am studying the Life Recovery Bible.
Yeah, sometimes the church fails in being able to talk about these really difficult situations. They kind of draw these lines in the sand, or black mm-hmm. and white, either you're in or out. And what that does is only causes further rejection and isolation. I mean, God's model is he demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were sinning, he died for us. I mean, while we were doing the very worst thing we've ever done, that's when he laid his life down. And as the church, we miss that. We forget that Christ presses in when we're mm-hmm. in dark seasons. And so the reason I'm saying that I would suggest you talk with a Christian counselor is you need someone that has the godly core, but that can help you and your husband negotiate and figure out where you're stuck. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there could be a very workable situation here, but you need some support to help you both get to the other side.
Right, because a lot of marriages 3 years in have problems, right? And so you have to work through those. So just because you're 73, you're not immune from having problems in a new marriage. But you're right, Sherry. People don't know how to walk alongside another person and really bear their burden with them. And so going to the church was the right thing to do, talking to your pastor, getting support there. But now, as a second line of defense, going to somebody who does know how to sit with you through this and walk beside you, and that would be a Christian therapist.
The worst thing is that his son rules his life, and that he won't do anything.
Yeah, we hear there's a lot of issues, Betty.
That's what the therapist can help you navigate through.
Yes, so where to set your boundaries and how to navigate that.
So, Betty,
there's a lot of variables.
If you'll hold the line, we'll see if we can make a connection for you to the right person to help you find a Christian counselor in your area.
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Betty. My dear.
Boy, tough things everywhere in life, aren't there?
Yeah, you know.
But Betty is being courageous, and I'm, you know, bless her. At 73, she's still reading and learning and growing.
Yep.
So I love that. Yeah. Never stop growing.
If you didn't hear the challenge a little earlier, we had a new friend of our ministry give us a call, and she said that she and her husband will match a gift. Anybody who gives a gift up to $1,000. Will be matched today. So call us at 1-800-639-5433 or go online to newlife.com and make a gift today. We will appreciate it. It will be doubled. So we'll be back in a moment with another call.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life. We're going to take one more call before this day is done with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. Joe Hubbard. But before that, just two little points of business. Remember that we're going to be doing webinars. We're going to be doing three webinars. They're going to take place on Monday, December the 12th at 4 p.m. Pacific time. That will be Every Man's Battle with Jason Martinkus hosting it. Tuesday will be Steve Arterburn hosting Healing is a Choice, December the 13th at 4 p.m. And Wednesday the 14th, we're going to do a New Life Marriage webinar at 4 p.m. Pacific time with Mylon Yurkovich and Dave Stoop. Just go online to newlife.com. You can register there, and it will be worth your time. It's free, so sign up for that. And the one other thing I want to say is this is Christmas time, and the greatest gift you can give others if you are struggling with drug or alcohol dependence is to get yourself clean and sober, and we can help you with that. Give us a call. We have wonderful Christian drug treatment at our facility that we partner with.
That would be the gift that keeps on giving.
Isn't that right? Something?
To get clean.
Yeah. So give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and they can help you there. We take those calls real seriously. Okay, we want to go over to line 7 and talk with Dennis. Dennis from Columbia, South Carolina, and listens on Sirius XM. Dennis, share with us how we can help you.
Well, first of all, I've been listening to the program for 3 years, and I'm going to accept the challenge that was extended.
All right, thanks, Dennis.
Guy.
Thank you.
I forget what you call it.
Thanks. That's wonderful.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Dollar
so
a day, anyway.
Okay.
Yep, that's
we love
great.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is, how can I maintain my sanity? And I think I know what you're going to say, but how can I maintain my sanity while I'm working with my wife to restore our marriage after I committed adultery?
Okay. So, can you say a little bit more? You feel like you're going crazy in this process?
Yeah, what's making you crazy?
Yeah.
I feel as though she has unrealistic expectations. And this extends all the way back. We've been married, it'll be soon 40 years.
Okay.
And as we've been going through that year... Yeah, I listen to you guys frequently because I'm a truck driver and I'm on the road a lot, so I listen to you guys and I feel like I'm going to a therapist every day. And so I've learned a lot about myself and I've learned a lot about her, and that's where there was a lady on a couple months ago and you guys diagnosed her as unrealistic expectations, and I said, man, she sounded like it was my wife calling in. And you know, it started in a cycle about 3 to 5 years. 5 years after we got married, she told me, she said, Denny, I'm not in love with you. I don't love you now, and I don't think I ever have.
Ouch.
And, of course.
That's painful. That's really painful.
Yeah.
So the affair you had was just within the last couple months?
No, that was... 4 years ago.
Okay. So you had an affair 4 years ago, and when was the affair over?
Yeah, well, it wasn't really an affair. It was a one-night stand.
Okay. So it was a one-night stand that happened 4 years ago.
I just told my wife about it.
And that's the only infidelity?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I just told her about it. I told her about it. I think it's been like, it was like May or June, that'd be like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, can you help us just give us a couple of bullet points on the unrealistic expectations? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
sounds
a
like
broad
it's bigger
statement,
than the adultery.
But yeah, if you could tell us what that looks like. I mean, just give us a couple bullet points.
Okay, well... I was saying, she would tell me she doesn't love me, and then she would give a reason why, because you're unkind.
Okay.
And so I said, okay. So I would go to the Bible, look up all the verses on kindness, and ask God to help me to be kind. And I would work through that and take a couple of months, and then she seemed as though she was okay with it because she took me back and started treating my husband again. And like I said, this is a cycle that goes mm-hmm. on. About every 3 to 5 years, usually in a letter. She doesn't confront me directly. If I go away on a business trip or something, then she'll write me a letter.
So every 3 to 5 years, things kind of come to a head. Where yeah. she's been living with the situation, and it gets better, and then you guys kind of slide back. So you have a regular right. pattern here. Right. So she lets you know when she's unhappy and hurting.
But through a letter. So that yeah. that to me seems like really disconnected communication. Right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, you have a conversation, you have some conflict, and you get a letter.
Yes.
And yet you're husband and wife. So there's already signs that you guys are struggling with intimacy, with being more deeply connected and sharing your hearts with one another. And that that struggle with intimacy sets you up for affairs, one-night stands, those kind of things. What are you and your wife working on? How are you guys working on your intimacy issues, on going deeper, on learning how to share your hearts with one another?
We've been working on it for 35 years.
And how?
And that's important to continue.
How have you been working on it?
Well, we've seen marriage counselors, usually a pastor. We've gone to seminars with Tim LaHaye and...
okay.
Other guys, you know, and Larry Crabb, and reading books, and
okay. But how long have you worked with a good marriage therapist? Just because you can. I call that skipping rocks. Basically, I call that skipping rocks.
It's all good stuff, but right. it should be in addition to being with somebody who can really guide and direct you.
Because really, bottom line, she still hasn't brought all her pain to you, and that's why she's holding on to it 4 years later. You guys need to get into a weekly time with a therapist, and that is an unbargainable point. Because if not, your marriage is not going to get better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You need to sign up to work with someone for a minimum of 6 months to a year every week, and that's hard for a trucker.
Yeah, she won't do it, though.
Uh-huh, because...
I insisted before I confessed my adultery to her. I insisted because things were they were getting bad again, and I could tell another heartbreak mm-hmm. was on its way. And I insisted we go to a marriage counselor. So she grudgingly went with me. And this counselor is he's a professional marriage counselor, and he's very good. He has worked with every man's battle in the past, and.
Well, Dennis, we're down to our last minute, mm-hmm. so we're going to have to okay. end this, and I'm sorry we can't talk longer.
I just say okay. you go. Yes. You go, and you start going, and then you invite her to come along. Don't give up. Continue to fight for that.
And in terms of the unrealistic expectations, see that as her struggle. You're a part of it, but it's not all about you. It's mostly about her, mm-hmm. and that will help you to not personalize it so much.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being a part of this program today. If you are able, we would love for you to support us. We would love for you to go on to our newlife.com and sign up for the webinars. And if, like I said a little earlier, if you have drug and alcohol issues, call us. What a better gift you could give at Christmas than to help yourself and help others around you by getting clean and sober. We love what we do here. We see life change, and I want to thank Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Denham for being the stars of this program again. We just love being with you. And so call us if you have seasonal affective disorder.
Thanks
next
for
hour.
Listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.